Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
It's 12 o'clock in the greatest city in the world. It is Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN. 800-919-3776 is the number. Be part of the conversation, of course, at Bart and Han, Twitter, Instagram as well. Bart had to get up this morning and as a result had to find his way back to the studio, which he is now stuck in New York traffic. What do we have? I missed that. We have him? He made it? Bart, I mean, how fast did you have to go then from the tunnel?
Yeah, like that.
What was it, 5 minutes ago you said you were stuck? I thought we didn't have you for the start of the show.
Hudson Yards, man. I was stuck by Hudson Yards. Like anybody that's traveling in the city.
You said it was 40 minutes, and it you did it in 10.
Yeah, man. I did some stuff that I really can't admit to.
All right, let's not talk about it.
I don't want to get a mail-in ticket.
Fair enough. Don't talk about it. Just whatever it took.
It's like the rappers rapping about what they did, their crimes, and then they get that RICO charge. And they're like, huh? What you talking about? How y'all know about that? Man, it's in verse 2, dummy, and you're 16 bars. It's bar 8.
All right, well, I'm glad to have you at the beginning because we got so much to do on a Friday here. I mean,
it's been crazy, man. It's just NFL free agency stuff. I mean, listen, I know Bing Bong. Listen, I'm surprised. I hit you up late, man.
You did.
I let my dog up late.
Yeah.
It's like when you have to do
Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football or Thursday Night Football, and I'm watching you on SNY and I'm laughing because, like, I'm literally in bed watching you have to talk about a loss. And the look on your face is like, I want to be anywhere but here.
It's like, why? But see, at least you're talking about a wing. Bing, yeah, bong, bing.
We got to talk about a win, which was nice. But you sent me like this sleepy eye thing as if, did I look like I was asleep last night?
No, it was just early. It was like, I know my dog tired.
Yeah, okay.
That left eye looked like it wanted to go like wink, wink. The left eye was like, man, listen, you got two eyes. Use one, bro.
It's a long day. You know what I mean? The studio lights
up. But at least it was a win. It's an impressive win. You know,
I mean, I don't know if it was
Jalen Brunson.
Yeah, Brunson was. I don't know if the win was impressive.
I'm just saying, like OG got the elbow tested. You know what I mean? So that's good. And just for anybody out there, that's gonna happen. It happened to me. Like but there's nothing wrong structurally with it. It's just it hurts.
I'm glad you said that.
And you have to bring it back to life. You grab it and you squeeze your hand, and it goes back. It's like having a stinger or something, right? Because he did have surgery. So it still can get overextended a little bit and where it kind of – you know, because wherever they took the calcium deposits off the bone spurs away, it still was surgery. They still removed something. So if you overextend it a little bit, it's going to hurt sometimes. But I'm glad that he fought through it because, you know, he has a reputation of a guy that if he feels uncomfortable, not 100%, he won't grit through it. Which, you know, yesterday was an example of him saying, hey, let me go talk to the trainers. The trainer saying, hey, man, it's good. It's going to be like this. We talked about this. I would probably encourage him to put a sleeve on, a compression sleeve, underneath the kinesiology tape. Just gives you a little bit more pressure because it feels better when you feel pressure on it, like a tightness, and it's not going to affect his shot. So if he would talk to me, I would tell him, put a sleeve on top of the kinesiology tape. It'll give him a sense of like having a tourniquet on, feeling something pressure tight. You know, when you have a bad knee, it just feels good to have the sleeve there, even though everything's structurally right.
Yeah.
It just feels good to have that extra sense of security.
It gives you security. Yeah, that's the exact word I was thinking of. It gives you that little sense of security. Now, after the game, we weren't able to get it. Like, it was, way after we were off the air, so we don't have anything audio-wise, interview-wise with him. But the reporters did get him after the game in Portland last night. And he said himself, because – you know, when you see him grab the elbow and wince, and then you see him flexing it a lot and holding it, but then he gets a steal and dunks the bat. You're like, wait, is he hurt? Is he not? It was really hard to follow it to think, if he was hurt, wouldn't he have come out of the game? And he played 36 minutes.
Yes, it's a real quick thing.
And you said, like, you get, like, this quick little, like, sting. So after the game, he said, it's just sore. He said, nothing really happened, just went for the ball, and it hurt randomly. He said, but it's fine. And then, of course, what we always do is we go, well, are you good to play the next game, which is Saturday in Sacramento? And Anunoby said, I wasn't even thinking about not playing.
That's so, like nerve regeneration too, right? Because the nerves, I mean, whenever you get surgery, you get like nerve blocks, and sometimes like the nerves are coming back. So now you feel things that you didn't feel before. And, you know, also I would just – he need to be eating a lot of turmeric if he's a guy that believes in holistic medicine.
Turmeric?
Yeah, because of anti-inflammatory.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, I would say just go Western medicine and jump on the Celebrex to keep the swelling down, because it's like little swelling that he may not know that's occurring a little bit, which gives him the soreness.
Okay.
So it's just pressure.
Yeah, so we'll see if he has a sleeve on.
Man, I should be on their staff, man. Listen, they should hire me strictly for him.
I'm going to have Anthony Goenaga call you after the show.
And I get him right.
Yeah. I think we're going to get – we call him Chico. We're going to get him to give you a call. He's the trainer.
Chico, cost you a little, may cost you a lot, but it's definitely going to cost you.
A little bit of advice. But I was surprised not to see the sleeve with that. They do have sleeves with a little padding on the elbow, and I was surprised not to see that. Maybe he didn't have – maybe it wasn't comfortable for him to wear. Who knows? But we'll see if that's there. But look, the good news is that he got through the game, and when you saw the wincing, you thought, oh, no. Like, we can't have this. But, you know, he gave you 14 points, as usual, a couple of steals, as usual, the impact on defense, as usual, plus 11. He's now plus 291. He's plus 291.
Just been there, what, 2 weeks?
In 16 games. And by the way, when he plays, they're 14-2. Now, I know the Portland Trailblazers aren't very good. Anybody they have that's decent didn't play last night. Simons and Brogdon and Grant, none of them played. So this was a win you were supposed to get. They got it. Jalen Brunson, 45 points. I mean, he put on a clinic for these kids that were trying to defend him. And, like, while no one can make a three, he's 6'2". He's in the paint scoring 18 points on 9 of 10 shooting. I found that to be so remarkable. 4 and 1s, 17 free throw attempts.
That's Kyrie Irving-ish.
It's just – but for a guy his size,
yeah,
it's remarkable to see what he can do with strictly footwork and strength in scoring in the NBA, because what we're used to is guys that levitate, guys that can explode, all, you know, Ja Morant types. Yeah. That aren't big but can get over bigs and score over bigs because their size or jumping ability or length. For Brunson, he doesn't go over anyone. He's under you but finds ways to score without having to get to the rim, and he did it last night. It was a remarkable performance. Again, 45 points, sixth 40-point performance of the season. And the Knicks now at win 39. So the trip gets a lot harder after this, but they get the win, and, you know, they're starting to, you know, that fourth spot, they keep hold of it. And, you know, Bart, they're going to finish the season. They're going to finish the season just like they started it, on the road. This was the first of the last 17 games of the season. 11 of them are on the road. So that's how the season started. That's how it's going to end.
Yeah, got to be Road Warriors.
That's it. So
that cushy part of the schedule, they got fat. Now they got to figure it out.
Yeah, well, I mean, they also had a lot of injuries through that part of the schedule when they were home a lot. But still, like, it's, you know, an impressive performance from Brunson. Anunoby is, you could see that he knows the elbow is just going to be bothersome, but he can play through it. Still played well. And, you know, like, this team right now, if I was surprised how poorly they shot from three, and that's a bigger concern of mine. Because if they're not going to be able to shoot the three well, and by the way, they're fourth worst in the league since the All-Star break from three-point range, that's, you know, if you want me to give you a concern off of a win.
Half of that has some burks.
Yeah, he's been rough. He didn't take a lot. He only played 4 minutes. He didn't play in the second half. He didn't play in the second half, and that's, you know, that's telling. But yeah, Bogdanovich, you know, you're not getting much out of him. You thought he was going to be, so he was 1 for 6. Like,
he looks a tad slow, too.
Yes, he does. And he didn't play much either. So I guess if I'm looking for the one thing that anybody wants to say, but what about this? That's what I'm worried about. That they were a top 10 three-point shooting team for a majority of the season. Since the All-Star break, they're one of the four worst three-point shooting teams. Last night was the first time they won a game. I'm sorry, the second time they won a game shooting under 30% from three. In the NBA, you can't survive nights like that. But if you go into the playoffs and you're not shooting a three, you're in trouble. Big trouble.
Yeah. They got to figure it out, man. They got to make it a point of emphasis. And shooters shoot. So, I mean, you do it by, you know, still taking the shots. It's like one of those things. You know, if it's open, you shoot it. And, you know, DiVincenzo, maybe he's a little tired. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 2 of 8 for him. 2 of 10 for Brunson. So 4 of 18 for the two of them.
You got to try, and as people come back, you got to try and find ways to give them a little rest. You know what I mean?
Well, they had been with Brunson until last night. Last night he played 38 minutes.
Yeah.
They've been kind of keeping his minutes
I'm talking about DiVincenzo and Hart a little bit. You know what I mean? Got to pull him back a little bit. And the thing is, this is important games, man. When you look at what's happening in the Eastern Conference.
Right.
You know.
Now, remember, they get a week. If you get a top six, you get a week off. That's also what makes the top six so important, because they have the play-in. When the season ends, it ends on a Sunday. And then it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday are all the play-in games. And then Saturday is usually like game one of the playoff rounds. So what you want to do is get a top six, mainly, A, you're avoiding the play-in, but B, you get a week off. So you really enjoy that. You get a couple of days where you can get your body right, get rest, and then you can start focusing on your opponent and get in some practice time that you never get. And then you know that that's going to be the end of it, because once the playoffs begin, forget it. Off days are literally off days. So that's another reason why you're just trying to get there. And, I mean, there's 16 games to go. Like we're almost there at that point. But, you know, again, Anunoby grabbing his elbow is definitely something that when you see it, you just go, oh, no. Because we don't know when Julius Randle's coming back. I'm thinking it's going to be after this trip. I think, but I don't know. But if it were me, that's what I'd be targeting after the trip. Mitchell Robinson, he could be in contact practice by next week for all we know, but I don't know how many minutes he can give you. So you can't afford anything. Like at this point now, you got to get healthy, and there can't be any more setbacks. So when Anunoby grabs his elbow, you're thinking like already going, oh, no. This, you can't lose this guy. So Tom Thibodeau after the game did talk about what he saw. And again, it was reassuring to hear that the Knicks did not really show much concern for it.
Yeah, there's going to be some times where, you know, there's going to be soreness. Like, so he played through it. He was fine. Medical looked at him. And, you know, there's going to be times that where it gets hit. We just got to keep going. We'll see where he is.
So that's the thing. He's got to play through it. Now, again, Bart, just to reiterate, you've had this surgery, right? You had the clean out with bone spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And
10 of them.
And so, wow. So is this typical, and what should he expect for the rest of the season?
Just some uncomfort, sometimes a little bite if he overextends the elbow a little bit. And some
bite, what do you mean bite?
Wake up.
When you say bite?
It's like a nerve shock, like ah, like oh. Like we've all been doing something, like ah, like.
Yep.
And, you know, he kind of like shuts down the system and has a reboot, and that's probably why he grabbed it and, you know, wanted to feel better.
And, you get like worried because you feel something and you think, oh, no, but really it's nothing?
It goes away, and what you have to realize is structurally you're fine. So
okay.
It's going to go away. So when it happens, you're calm because you know it's going to go away. You just don't want it to keep happening. And, you know, you don't want to get it stuck or something like that, hyperextended, somebody running to the back of it and it flares up. Because you may get a little irritation, a little swelling. That's why, like, I always say take some Celebrex or something like that so you can have an anti-inflammatory in your body, because now it's been rehabbing and stuff like that, but now you're doing it tensed up. People are going to hit it. It's going to get bumped, and it could get a little inflammation. And as your nerves are regenerating, sometimes some of your nerves come back to life.
But there's not like a re-injury type situation,
no,
right?
Because no, cleaned it out. Structurally, it's fine.
Right, okay. All right, and look, I just saw him – while he was holding the elbow, then get a steal, go down the court and dunk the basketball with two hands. And I'm thinking, well, I think he's all right. You know, like it's strange how when one minute it looks like he can't lift his arm and the next minute he's throwing down a reverse jam on the break. So, you know, I guess the best feeling is after the game hearing him even say that it's not a big deal and it's a little sore and, you know, you have to expect that. So they can at least move forward there. And the feeling is he will play against Sacramento on Saturday. At least that's what he said. You mentioned Josh Hart. Yeah, he had 15 rebounds again. He had 15 rebounds. He's 6'4".
Getting in the mud, baby.
It's wild. And he played another 42 minutes after, you know, the 39 at the triple-double the other night. So I looked it up just out of curiosity. So since the All-Star break, we're at 11 games now. He's averaging over 12 rebounds a game. And he's in the top 10. He's actually sixth in the league in rebounding. He's the only one that is not a center in the top 10. Giannis is in the top 10, and Giannis is like 6'11", even though he's not technically a center. So it's what he's done on the boards is absolutely remarkable. It was funny after the game when Jalen Brunson was talking to Mike Breen and Monica McNutt, by the way, on the call. And they do the interview, and Mike Breen asked him to say something nice about Josh Hart.
You're not going to like this next question, Jalen, or what I'm going to ask of you. I need you to say something nice about Josh Hart and the way he played tonight.
No. Next question. Josh, I mean, no matter what he says, complains or not complaining, or there's one thing he's going to do. He's going to play hard for 48 minutes. That's just what he is. That's in his DNA. He's been like that since I've met him. Nothing new.
The praise is obviously there for his teammate, and also just teasing him because he had to say something nice about him. But the Villanova guys have made such a difference to the culture of this team. There's no question about that. All right, 800-919-3776. For those who want to talk about the Knicks and what they saw at OG Anunoby and everything else like that, we certainly will go there. But we've got a lot of headlines to get to today. In fact, Bart, there is a brand-new headline that just hit. If you want to hear about it, we'll get to some NFL stuff because – you know, I mean, while there's a lot on the Jets and Giants, and on the Jets, I got a question for you, but we do have...
Can't wait!
Man, I can't take this, man. It's just too much.
Adam Schefter just put out a tweet.
Tyrion Smith went where?
Nope.
Okay, I'm nervous. All
right. Aaron Donald.
Retiring?
Has announced his retirement.
I told you. I knew he was retiring, man.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you retire, you retire. Yep. He said he retired a year ago. They gave him that big contract. He took that signing bonus. He's like, nah, man, I'm done.
Right. Yeah. I mean, look, he won his Super Bowl. He's been
– and that's all he wanted.
One of the best players in the league.
You thought he was going to play for – but, you know, every player that's a great player don't want to play for 50 years. And when you start saying you want to retire and they got to talk you back, but mm-hmm. The thing is, they just got a lot of salary cap space. They about to go spin and spree.
They're going like, to have to.
Look at who's who. They're like, we got money.
Well, you can't replace this guy, though. That's the thing. So
listen. But the kid next to him with 9 sacks his first year, It was getting off to a hell of a start. So now, if you're a free agent, I'm like, hey, if you're Justin Simmons, high price, like, hey, what up, fellas? What up, baby?
Maybe Eric Armstead wants to change his mind.
No, right? Eric Armstead already got signed. He got signed by Jacksonville.
But maybe he'd want to change his mind.
He's like, did he put the ink to the paper yet?
Yeah, so I don't know, but that came out yesterday. So maybe he suddenly goes, whoa, hang on a second. But put into just perspective, you as a defensive player, Aaron Donald and the impact he's had on the game and just what – like, give me
at
a
his,
like,
at his size.
How good – yeah, explain to everybody just how good of a player Aaron Donald was.
At his size, like 280, 290,
yep.
Getting triple teamed with his speed, explosiveness. Triple. Think John Randall with LT-type skills, right? Like, he impacted the game like Lawrence Taylor, like the great J.J. Watt early in his career. Like, he was a problem, a difference maker, and – you know, maybe Joe Burrow would be sitting here with a championship if, you know, Aaron Donald hadn't said ring me, because, you know, typically we see these great quarterbacks get the ball, march the ball down the field, touchdown, they got the ball last. But no, Aaron Donald would not be denied. He made 2 special plays, back-to-back, closed out the show, and he got ringed. And, you know, it was a great career. It was a shorter career than most great guys, but he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, probably 3-time defensive MVP. Yeah, his sacks from the interior. I mean, I think he moves ahead of Warren Sapp. Think Warren Sapp, how dominant he was. He was better than Warren Sapp.
Wow.
Right? I can't think of a better defensive tackle than Aaron Donald. You know, and I mean, I just really can't. I mean, Warren Sapp was close. John Randall, yes, but I still think he was better than all of those guys. When you start comparing him, you have to compare him to outside guys. Reggie White, Lawrence Taylor. You know, he's earned the reputation, and, you know, he'll go out and do whatever he wants to do. But it was his job, his time to decide when he wants to move on. Matthew Stafford, you know, the job just got a lot harder for a guy like Matthew Stafford. But excitement, because now you have unexpected money. And, you know, you can get 3 players for the price of what you were paying him, because he was making $34 million a year. I think Chris Jones passed him up as the best defensive tackle in the game this year. But I think it's simply because you can tell that his heart wasn't in it.
Is it simply that, right? Like, it's not like the skills were diminished. It was more just the motor kind of slowed down
and
a little
preparation,
bit.
Right? To want to be great. Like, and when you're a player that don't live up to the expectations and not willing to put in the type of work to live up to the expectations, the reputation that you had, he didn't want to put bad film out there because it was no more nothing else for him to play for.
How close is Quinnen Williams to that?
I would say Chris Jones is the closest one to that.
Yeah, you said Chris Jones, but I'm saying like when I think about
Meta,
you know,
BK,
like,
if he can keep this going, but you know, Quinnen Williams is probably, you know, I think he should be. I don't know if he'll be as dominant as he is. I don't think his ceiling is as high because he's so explosive, and Quinn is a little bigger, not a natural anybody that's ever seen Aaron Donald with shirt off. He has a six pack.
Yeah, and not a typical defensive tackle, right? Like as far as
he
build,
was a little
size,
chubby when he first
else?
Came in, but he put the work in with Chuck Smith and got his body right and to elite status. He went from good, you know, running a 4.8 in the 40 to going to elite status as far as when you see him with a shirt on. Like, yeah, hold on, this dude's 280, but he got no fat. And he's sitting there holding double teams. It's just because he's strong. It ain't because he's some massive, you know, Ted Washington type of guy or Casey Hampton type of guy.
Right. When you think defensive tackle, you're thinking of somebody that is 280, almost 300,
310.
Just a massive road grade. The guy is just going to blow through people. Right, like you don't think of someone when you look at him and his stature. I always thought that Aaron Donald, like again, not like you knew he was a defensive tackle, but I always thought he was an end.
Yeah,
like, he looked like a defensive end.
Warren Sapp, you think of Warren Sapp, fat body.
Yeah,
you know
exactly. Warren Sapp is that
only
typical
John
defensive
Randall was
tackle.
The only guy that was like him. That was a guy that was and Alan Page. If you're an older player. Older person that remember Alan Page, Judge Alan Page, who was like 225, 230 in the middle. Like he's built like a DN. Like he's built like Bryce Huff.
And he's taking on guys that are 360, right?
And they double teaming him, so he's taking on two of them.
Guards and centers that are just massive human beings, and they can't keep up with them.
This is a game changer, man, because now all of a sudden they got money.
Mm-hmm.
They already had money. But now they got money.
They got real money.
They can go out and sign big. Like they can go out and say, okay, like who's out there that's big that we can go out there and get? Who do we want to trade for now?
Well, eventually we have to get to the fact that more wide receivers are going off the board and the Jets aren't locking up any of them as they are trying to get one to return. Again, another thing that you did hint to when it comes to Corey Davis. So
I think they're trying, but nobody wants to take their money. I don't know.
And that's a concern, don't you think? Aaron Rodgers. I thought people wanted to come play for him.
Yeah,
everybody wants to be a wide receiver with him.
Players want to play for him.
Yeah.
No general manager wants to help him. Like if you're the Chargers, do you want to be the team that gave Aaron Rodgers Keenan Allen? So you can see him in the AFC Championship, he can beat you with your own player?
Is that what you think it is?
Hell yeah. That's why they sent his ass to the NFC.
Okay. All right. So it's more or less that than anything else. And then the Davante Adams stuff is also that the Raiders are like, the last thing I want to do is give him back to the Jets so they can go on and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I got Gardner Minshew, man. I need help.
I got Gardner Minshew, guy that you liked. And there's some Drew Lock controversy, by the way, with the Giants that we've got to get to.
Yeah.
That's all over the place.
Is Renan around? Can we send the bat signal out?
We could send the bat signal out, yeah. But Paul Schwartz is somebody that has some interesting reporting on this whole story as well from the New York Post. So, again, we got the Knicks. They got a win. They're on the road trip. OG's okay. For those who didn't see it, if maybe, you know, you're just getting up and you didn't pay attention to the news in the morning, OG's okay. The elbow's fine. He said it's fine. He's going to play on Saturday. He said that's his plan. So whatever it looked like after the game, it was not that. And Bart has been through this surgery, and he has said, yeah, you're going to get days like this. And Brunson just had a magnificent game. They won the game they're supposed to win. Now you got a road trip with three games of – they're all tough opponents, and how many can they get here on the rest of this trip? As now it's going to be a road race for the Knicks to get their playoff spot, as they have 10 of their last 16 games on the road. And one more thing on the football side, Saquon Barkley, why do we always have to have these farewell letters now? Like, do you really need that as a fan? That became such a thing.
That's marketing.
I mean, give me a break. Just move on. We'll see you some other time. But now it's like, he didn't say goodbye.
This stuff makes me sick. Maybe one of the cutest moments I've ever seen in press conferences.
I like that. Okay. All right, so lots to get to. We'll get the call stacked, racked, and ready to go at 800-919-3776, and we will talk to you next. Barton Hunt, 98.7 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Let's get right to the calls, Bart, here on a Friday.
Let's do it.
We got Tony in Deer Park. What's up, Tony?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So listen, you know, longtime Knicks fan, back in the 80s, I'm stressing. And I'm stressing over injuries. I'm stressing over minutes played for some of these guys. But I've got to sit back and I got to remind myself, you know, a couple of years ago, nobody wanted to come here. You know, we saw Kyrie and Durant go to the Nets. And that was like, oh, like a kick in the stomach. Like, oh, they don't want to come to the Knicks. But, you know,
remember KD said the Knicks weren't cool, right? Remember that?
Yeah, we weren't cool. But you know what? Leon Rose, the culture is changed. Those trades that he made, bringing Josh Hart here, bringing OG here, you know, Bogdanovich, you know, and Burks, you know, I'm telling you, I got to sit back and have a good feeling about this team. I really got to feel that, you know what, whatever's going to happen this year is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a future. We got a superstar, you know. I'm excited because, you know, I'm a crazy Knicks fan who's stressing about, you know, these games and wanting to win and make the playoffs and make a push. It's been too long. I'm back. You know, I go back to Rod Strickland, Kenny Skywalker, Gerald Wilkins.
Oh, wow.
That was my crew.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bomb squad.
And I'm still not over 94.
Nope.
You know, I'm not over losing, you know. Mm-hmm. So I want this. I need this. The city will lose its mind. Basketball will be different. The NBA, if the Knicks are a champion.
That's LeBron's always said that. As much as people think, you know, how much LeBron, like, oh, he's afraid to come there. He always said that the league is better when the garden is rocking.
He said, look at the playoff
better for
year.
Our league. So I want to just tell you something, though, Tony, because you and I are from the same era, right? So we grew up with the same teams. And, you know, we talk – it's so funny because, you know, the stress part that you're dealing with, and you mentioned the injuries, and you're right, and the minutes part. And I because I had a call the other day who did the minutes thing with me, and I can't stand it because – we grew up, we never, like Tony, did we ever say,
no,
you know, Oakley's
never.
Playing too many minutes. He's going to be exhausted, right? Did
We're
Anthony Mason
world.
Ever look like he was tired? Like, he never looked tired. You know, like.
Those guys are fighting to stay in the game.
So listen to this. The 94 season that the Knicks went to the finals and lost in game 7 of the finals. Patrick Ewing played in 79 of the 82 games in the regular season. And then, of course, he played every single playoff game. Do you know how many minutes he averaged in that 94 season when he played 79 out of 82 games?
I don't know exactly, but
I'll let you guess. Just throw out a guess of how many minutes per game do you think Ewing averaged that season?
38.
Yeah, 37.6. 38 minutes a game if you round it up. Did he look tired?
Well, he always looked tired.
He was always sweating.
Did he look
like dehydrated?
Like, did he look like he had nothing left in the tank? I mean, you know, he had probably one of the greatest games he's ever played was the O.J. Simpson game, where he completely dominated Hakeem Olajuwon in Game 5 of the NBA Finals. It was in mid-June, and he had the greatest game of his career. No one saw it because we were all watching a white Bronco on the 405. Yeah. But the point is that I don't know when this happened, but it's happened, and we're caught up in minutes.
It's happening in every sport.
You're right.
In every sport.
No, you're right. You're right. It used to be a baseball thing, but now it's an every sport thing. But, Tony, I will say this. You said something that I hope all Knicks fans feel, and I'm glad you said it because I haven't heard enough people say it, and that is that this isn't a one-off. 2013 was a, we know this is a one-year thing. These guys are old. It's not going to last. This is, like you said, you have a core now. These Villanova guys have done something special by reuniting, and there's guys that are gravitating towards this energy that they have and how they're playing and the fact that they respond to the coaching that they have. And they're building this team properly. What Leon Rose is doing is very smart. Get me players who fit the way the coach wants to play and can handle his type of coaching. OG likes that kind of coaching. Achiuwa said he likes it. Hartenstein likes it. Those players, they all like it. So if you're building a team like that and they're all in their mid-20s, nobody's over 30, kind of tells you that whatever happens this year is a step towards the next thing. So you can look forward to next season and where it goes. So, Tony, you saying that, I feel so much better today than I did yesterday when I had a call that told me that the coach is overrated. Like, thank you for doing this, Tony, because you put me in a good mood at the start of the show. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, brother.
I told you he was going to feel in a good mood after a win.
Thank you. Well, I mean, yeah, the win is helpful, but the win to me was that they were supposed to win that game.
But I worry
about Knicks fans who focus so much on this immediate moment and don't realize, you know what's happening right now? This is something we haven't seen in a long time. This is a team that has a chance to be good, not for 1 year, but for several years as they grow together and get better and figure it out and learn from things. And, you know, you're going to have injuries. You're going to fight through stuff. And are they going to win a championship this year? I don't believe so. I don't. I don't think they have enough. But, and obviously the Randall injury does cause for major concern. But do I think they can build towards one? I absolutely do. This is the closest I feel they have been to winning a championship in – probably since 1999.
Well, fans can feel good that they don't feel like a joke anymore because it felt like the organization was a joke.
Well, there's
a
story.
Now, when you speak about the Knicks, you have to speak with them, you know, and with a sense of respect and pride and grit, which is what this city has always been about, respect. And I feel like they have that, and they have the respect of players that are pending free agents that will say, hey, if I'm a free agent, man, the guard might be lit for me. Mm-hmm. And it used to be just the off the field, the marketing, the expanding of the platform. But now it's like it's basketball first. It makes sense for me to go here because it's good basketball-wise first.
True.
And business second. So the other places may be able to offer the basketball, but they can't, you know, answer the other stuff. So that's what makes it, like, exciting because if you're a free agent, you're excited to maybe come and play with this group because I think they have a superstar that people can like. If it's anybody out there that hates Jalen Brunson, don't like him, then you know that person's a bad person.
Can't understand it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Can't understand. If you don't like Jalen Brunson, what's wrong with you?
Yeah,
there's so much about this guy to like.
Listen, like some people just have that personality, the way they go about their business and the way they carry themselves. And you heard about when he was playing with the USA team, you know what I mean, how people gravitate to him. So, listen, when you have a star like that, where people don't say, I want to go there, man. Put up all the shots. I got to play around him. I got to adjust my game. Nah. He's a guy that people can see, hey, man, I'm going to go there, and he's going to do the right play, and I got a non-prima donna superstar.
If Kevin Durant ever was like if the Suns are like, we can't afford all these stars and we got to trade someone, if you could trade for Kevin Durant at 37 years old, would you do it?
I still do it. Hell yeah. Man, that dude, game eight. If LeBron playing at a high level,
you can right a wrong, right? You can right the wrong from 2019. Don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility. Don't think it's crazy. Don't think that's completely out of the realm of possibility. That's a real thing to keep an eye on just in case. Do I think that that's going to happen? No. But do I think it could? Of course it could happen. And would Kevin Durant say, yeah, I'll go play for the Knicks? Yes. Yes, he would. He's made that abundantly clear that what he felt in 2019 doesn't exist anymore about this team. And he loved playing in New York City. The problem was is that it didn't have the same vibe as playing at the Garden, and he knows it. And so that's a guy that, to me, if this summer things get squirrely and the Suns like realize that we can't carry this much salary with just three players and we've got to do something to get better depth and all that other stuff and get under the luxury tax threshold, move a guy like that?
They stuck with Bill, so like ain't nobody going
to
trade
Bill. Nobody's trading for Bill.
No. Booker or yeah. KD, and if you got to get away from one, it's going to be KD.
And if you make a move like that, forget it. Like now you're right there with Boston. You're right there with Boston, right? And then your window suddenly gets small because he's old. He's an older player. But this is a hypothetical that I'm having fun with, everybody. But these are the things you think about because of what Bart just said. Because now they are a franchise that isn't one where you go, I don't know if I want to go there, right? Like, you don't do that anymore, and that did exist. We all know it existed, that hesitation to come here, the fear of carrying the weight and all the expectations, what Melo went through. That was a cautionary tale for years after Carmelo Anthony left. But now that's changed. That has gone away. They have finally kind of laundered the karma. And now what you have is something like you can dream of things like, what if the Suns decide they can't do what they want to do? And a guy like Kevin Durant suddenly becomes available and you got all these draft picks. Hell yeah, you do it. And now all of a sudden you're into that championship level contender conversation, which is what you've been looking for. So what Bart said is true. That's what you're getting out of this year. You can dream of things and how far can you go in the playoffs. That's all going to be fun. But this season is going to end in heartbreak. It's going to. It's going to because you're not there yet. But you're closer than you've been, and it's just the beginning. That's what makes this kind of fun. If you can handle it, the reality of knowing that you're going to finish this season disappointed, you're going to. But then you're going to wake up in 2 or 3 days and go, yo, this is one of the better franchises in the league now. Zach Lowe said the Knicks are one of the, like, they operate like one of the best operating franchises in the league now. Like, so the national media is recognizing it too. It says a lot. And that's where this is a fun time, clinching a playoff berth, making that push, all those things we're talking about, what seeds you can get in the conference and who your matchups are going to be. These are fun. This is all fun stuff. But you know that this is not a team that's ready to get to the finals. They're not built for that yet. But you can also tell yourself, this is just the start. And that's pretty good, too. It's better to know that than to know this is it. If you don't win it this year, the whole thing is, you know, Jason Kidd's 40. You know, Rasheed Wallace has got a foot issue and he's going to retire. And, you know, things are going to just go south. But you don't have that.
Right, this is a young core. Guys are tied up for the most part. And, you know, you have something that the other teams don't have. That's your first picks. That you can trade and salary cap space.
Yep, all of it. 800-919-3776. Carl's in Queens. What's up, Carl?
Bar Allen. Good afternoon, fellas. Hey, so the last caller. So I'm a good man. Thanks. I'm a little bit of a younger fan. So the first team I watched live was the Latrell and Allen Houston squad.
Oh yeah.
And then it was downhill from there, unfortunately for me. But listen, he said he was a little bit stressed with all the stuff going on. I'm so here for this, Allen. I've been to like 12 Knick games this year, the most of my life. I'm so ready for this. But listen, just a little appreciation for Jalen Brunson. The way he controls the tempo, creates space, it's so amazing to watch. Allen, we went from, you know, Nate Robinson to Frank Ntilikina. I'm so grateful for him. And another thing, just a shout out. I know, you know, I don't think people flew out to Portland, but I love that we have Knicks fans everywhere. Allen, they were chanting MVP for JB in the first quarter last night. I love that crap, man.
It was great.
And the 3-point shooting, though, Allen, I'm sure you know, we shot 20%. The difference was obviously the points in the paint last night.
Yep.
But that's not really going to work with the upper echelon teams, man.
No, you got to hit
unless
threes.
They figure out.
Yeah, they got to hit their threes, Carl.
So that's why the Julius coming back is so, you know, Julius spreading the floor, even he facilitates a little bit. That's going to be so big unless they could find a balance where, you know, we actually just dominate teams in the paint, you know, in the playoffs, maybe that'll work. And one more thing, Monica McNutt is great. I love that woman. Seriously.
Yeah.
National treasure.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was so happy. I'm happy she's getting – you got it, Carl. Thank you. I'm so happy for Monica because, you know, she works hard. She puts in the preparation. She's done a lot of stuff. Personality that is, you know, always out of 10. And her knowledge for the game is always out of 10. So it's great that she's getting the opportunity on this road trip to do like the rest of it. You know, Wally has gotten his time. I've gotten my time. Now it's her time. And we all get that chance to sit next to the Hall of Famer, Mike Breen, and call games, and it's a dream come true. So I'm glad she's getting her shot at it. It was fun listening to her call the game last night. I'm like a proud uncle.
Yeah, Mike's a really true definition of a force multiplier.
Well, yes. Yes. 800-919-3776. We will continue with your calls. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
But first,
you got
Discover BetMGM. Yeah, man.
All right, let's
go. The sports betting app New Yorkers turn to for nonstop action. As the official sports betting partner of the Madison Square Garden and the New York Knicks, and guess what? Also the New York Rangers. BetMGM meets New Yorkers at the world's greatest arena with same-day parlays, exclusive signature bets, and much more all season long. And as an authorized gaming partner of the NBA and the official sports betting partner of the NHL, BetMGM takes the show on the road for excitement every night. Plus, as an official sports betting partner of the New York Jets, BetMGM makes every football game the best it can be. Download the BetMGM app today by going to BetMGM and GameSense. Also reminds you to play responsibly and offers resources to help you make appropriate choices. Go to BetMGM.com for T's and C's. Must be 21 years or older to wager. New York or New Jersey only. If you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, help is available. In New Jersey, call 1-800-GAMBLER. In New York, call 878-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY at 467-369.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
We haven't heard from Bobby Brown in a long time. Bored on a Friday.
Can't say I'm nasty. It's the
way that I want to live.
They started their residency, I think. I think they started their residency.
Yeah, right?
It looked like Bobby Brown lost 5 pounds. So he looks like a younger T.D. Jakes.
New addition out there in Vegas. You know what, Bart? Let's do a little Torment update driven by Nissan, shall we, before we get back to calls at 800-919-3776. It's a little quieter today than it was yesterday, although your Michigan State, which did move on, they're playing right now against Purdue in the Big Ten tournament.
That's
so
tough.
I figured
– Purdue's always a tough out.
Your Michigan State, you know, I know how much you love them. So, you know, I didn't know if you wanted to keep an eye on that score or not.
Yeah, Nick Saban took my scholarship away. Yeah, that's true.
How did Nick Saban take your scholarship away?
They're losing
32-25, just so you know, late in the first half. Hmm. Oh, 34-27 now updated.
It's called bad karma.
Yeah, okay. But the bigger story to me is locally. So St. John's won yesterday against Seton Hall. 91-72 in the quarterfinals at Madison Square Garden in the Big East tournament. They're playing UConn today at 5:30 at the Garden. Ooh. And I imagine that place is going to be rocking.
Yeah, Molly said she was going, but she's rooting for the other side. She's a Manchurian candidate.
Well, she went to UConn.
I know, but that's a Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, Molly went to UConn. So Molly went to UConn.
Manchurian candidate.
Well, anyways, the tip-off at 5:30. It's on Fox if you want to watch it. But like to me, this is everything, because think about this. I didn't know this was true until I read it. St. John's hasn't appeared in a Big East semifinal since 2000.
Damn.
That blows my mind. Like, that's incredible. Their first semifinal appearance since 2000.
Damn.
But the win over Seton Hall, so they got 10 quad one or two wins. They pretty much, Rick Pitino has taken this program, and he's already got them more than likely an at-large bid to the tournament.
Somebody write this man a check
so we can buy some players. I mean, that's really impressive when you think about it. What Rick Pitino has done in one season to just bring back the credibility and respectability. You remember last year when St. John's, you know, they moved on and it was like, okay, what are they going to do at head coach? And I said it over and over again, you got to get Rick Pitino. You got to get Rick Pitino. He's at Iona. He's right there. You know, it's like you got to have this guy take over your program and get it back on the map. They made the right choice. They brought him in. And now you're seeing him already. The effects are already showing. And they're going to be in the tournament. Look, UConn has smoked them this year. UConn's their second-ranked team in the country. They're a great team. They could win the national championship. This is a tough, tough game for St. John's to think about winning. But to be in this game says a lot about how far the program has come with Pitino in 1 year. And then also what it can become in the next year or two when you consider the portal and what they have, obviously, with NIL and the ability to attract some players. And if that garden is rocking today and the atmosphere is off the charts like I expect it to be, how could you not want to come and play for that guy and play in that building and have the chance to do some things in this city that, you know, we haven't seen in decades? So it's a great time right now for St. John's. It's a great moment.
The fact that he's still connecting with younger players and he's been around. You know, you saw guys like Nick Saban, Chip Kelly, guys getting out of it because they can't deal with the pressure of having to recruit every day. The fact that he still has the energy, he still has a little fight and vigor to try and win the recruiting wars when him himself saying, hey, man, I got to recruit my team every year.
Yep. And he even said it. He even said it.
He's older than everybody.
Crazy.
He's probably older than Nick Saban, right?
71. How old is Saban? Is Saban in his 60s?
Yeah, about the same one. No, Saban's 70-something.
Yeah, all right, but still. So here's Pitino, though, just talking about like what it meant just to win that game for St. John's at the Garden in the Big East tournament. It essentially locked up a trip to the dance and then sets them up now in a semifinal, the first semifinal appearance in the Big East tournament in 24 years.
With every good win, I get a phone call from Luke Hanaseca. Your team's playing great. You're going to take them. I knew it. I knew it. They're playing great. And it was like he's such for us.
I know.
To still
like
have
a godfather.
Lou in great shape.
He's a godfather.
And, yeah, he's. So I know I'm going to get a call tonight or tomorrow from Lou. This is his program. He put the stamp on this along with some coaches before him like Lapchick that was so awesome. I'm just a torchbearer for Lou and Lapchick. Just trying to. I'm going on 72. And I'm just trying to enjoy it as much as I can because I know my window's closing. And let's just have a blast the next 15 years of my coaching career.
I love the energy that this just shows there. So we'll see how things go today.
Interview with a vampire. We all know he's a vampire, so he can play as long as he wants.
And that's our tournament.
Why is he still coaching at 105? Oh, I got to disappear.
Tournament update driven by Nissan. Coming at you with all the excitement of a Hollywood blockbuster at the Nissan Thrill of the Drive sales event. Shop impressive savings at NissanUSA.com today.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.